Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of super yachting is birthday girl Sophia Wilson.
Thank you very much.
I think recording a podcast on your birthday and actually being in the office is, I think it's something to celebrate, Sophia.
Well, I was actually planning on taking it off, but the Queen slightly changed plans this week.
Oh, yes, the Queen. Well, we'll get on to the how you marked her passing in just a second. But what have you got planned for your birthday?
Nothing very exciting.
Apart from filing some copy at Boat International.
Filing some copy, recording a podcast, all very rock and roll. Hopefully a nice supper at home tonight. Parent life. It used to be so different.
So not, what's that awful club in Putney?
The Fairs.
No Fairs club for you this evening.
No, it did used to be Infernos back in the day. Infernos. I was more of an Infernos kind of a girl.
That's a place.
I haven't stuck to those carpets in a few years now.
A lovely supper at home with the family. That's, well, you're getting old now, so that's what you got to do.
Sad times. And I have just been to the pub with my team and a few others for lunch, so maybe a slightly jollier podcast.
If Sophia starts slurring, you know exactly why. But of course, yeah, very sad day yesterday, wasn't it? But, we won't obviously dwell on the funeral massively because it's a super yacht podcast. The UK does pomp and ceremony better than anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it is incredible to watch something like that. And I obviously am quite a royalist, Boat's unofficial royal correspondent, as I as I like to be known. But
Sophia Witchell.
It was amazing. Surely that was, amazing, regardless of the kind of connection you felt, to see that kind of the public and then, everything went on, all the armed forces, everyone involved. It was an incredible feat.
It's the organisation of it blows my mind because I always think of our events team when I see things like that, particularly that you're watching it yesterday, because it was choreographed to absolute perfection. No one put a foot out of place. There was no dropping of anything. And when the soldiers were carrying the casket, you kind of watch through your fingers, don't you?
Because they look so young as well. I'm getting old now, as discussed, but they did look so young. You just thought that amount of pressure at that age is unreal. And apparently five of them had flown back from Iraq as well that week to do it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It was a long day of watching various processions for the Campbells yesterday.
Did your children watch?
My oldest one actually went to Windsor with a friend of hers to watch the casket pass going up to Windsor Castle. So she had a great time.
Yeah, I took Lara, my daughter, up to Buckingham Palace the weekend before last. She's too young to know, but I felt she should kind of go and see and have a photo so that when she's older and asks. And then we watched it on the TV yesterday, which is quite hilarious watching something like that with a two-year-old because they just have no idea what's going on. She referred to the Archbishop of Canterbury as a toucan at one point because he was wearing black and white.
It's quite descriptive. Get a writing for her.
She had a quote, was like, "What's the toucan saying?" That's the Archbishop of Canterbury, darling, but never mind. As sorrowful as it was, my daughter added an element that only two-year-olds can to such proceedings.
Yeah, and actually it's been quite interesting watching. I mean, I've had a lot of emails from people we work with in the super yacht business from outside the UK saying, sorry for your loss, basically, which is quite touching, actually. But anyway, should we move on with some super yacht chat? So basically, it's all gone crazy. Everything's happening at the same time. My to-do list is about to slip off page of A4, and my hair's falling out.
Yeah, I mean, we did just have quite a serious conversation about heart attacks before we started this podcast, which is a kind of sign of where you're...
Yeah, my blood pressure's been in a better place. So I'm off to Monaco tomorrow, and I'll be there till the 3rd of October. So my wife isn't speaking to me currently. It's just a slightly mad period, isn't it? So we've got an event on Friday, then we're doing another event on Sunday, then the Monaco Yacht Summit on Tuesday, an Owners Club event on the following Wednesday, then a Captain's Club on Thursday, boat party on Friday, Saint-Tropez on Sunday, and then home.
So I'm equally busy, but I am popping back in between. So I'm going out to Cannes on Thursday till Saturday, flying back Saturday lunchtime, And then flying back out. Actually, I'm not flying out till the Wednesday till Monaco and then back on the Saturday. So I think that means I'm in less bother at home, but it does mean more time in Cannes, in Nice Airport, which I'm very familiar with, especially given the current delays that we seem to be having going in and out of there.
Just don't get that last EasyJet flight home.
No, I'm on an afternoon flight on the Saturday because I just, that last flight of the day. I've spent way too much time in Jamie's deli, sadly, drinking mini bottles of white wine. So yeah, that needs to be avoided at all costs.
Yeah, yeah. It's this kind of like pre-exhaustion. I'm suffering from pre-exhaustion. Anyway, it's going to be great. And I can't wait to see everyone. It just feels like this is it. Gloves are off now, aren't they? Because there's absolutely no restrictions in place, as far as I'm aware, COVID-wise, in Monaco during the show. There certainly weren't any in Cannes. And parties are back. Our big party at the Yacht Club is back. That's going to be kind of 550 people or something or other at the top of the Yacht Club on the Friday night, which is going to be just spectacular. Yeah, it will be amazing. Say no more.
Yeah, well, I think this time last year when we were recording the podcast, you know, talking about going to Monaco, and there's a little bit of like, oh, we don't really know what it's going to be like and what are the events going to be like. And then, like, particularly for our events last year, we only ran the smaller events. We ran our Captain's Club and Owner's Club. And I don't really remember, everyone had to have a negative antigen test. That's there was right, a kind of nurse on the dock that, you know, by the end of the week fully knew my nostrils because she was doing it every day. So it does feel nice to kind of be going back to that and not having any of that on the mind. Just kind of, it's full on, but it's full on in an exciting way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's I've got the boat list in front of me, and it's going to be some real quality boats there. Arpo, Corinthia 7, that's really, really exciting. I'm going to be twisting every arm I can find to have a look around Corinthia 7, because what a famous boat. Tatoosh, never been on Tatoosh. Phoenix 2, never been on Phoenix 2. Here Comes the Sun, Project X, on which we're hosting a few functions.
I'm slightly giving away the data later in the podcast.
Oh, am I? Am I blowing? Yeah, okay, just, so I'll stop.
I'm sure you're fully in favour with the script, but just before we completely
stop,
run out.
I'll stop getting excited about all the big boats going to Monaco. So why are you going back to Cannes?
I am going back to Cannes. Actually, it's a very nice trip, which I'm really excited about. So I am going back to visit a property called Le Grand Jardin, which has just opened, and it's the only private property on the island of Saint-Mangouet, which is just off Cannes. So it's one of the Lerin Islands. Have you ever been there?
No, but I know the island.
Because I've heard amazing things about it from captains and how it's this kind of completely blissful, you know, you're within shooting distance of kind of Cannes and Monaco, but it's completely blissful. So it's looked after by a group called the Ultima Group, who own several incredible properties, including one in Corfu, they own a couple of incredible ski chalets. And their kind of mantra is they're sort of private properties, but with hotel service. So you rent it out for 12 or 16 people and you have all the hotel amenities, but within, you know, completely to yourself. This is a new property and it's literally just opened. So yeah, I'm very excited. And it's also sort of back to my travel editor days, because I've had the itinerary and it's very much a travel editor itinerary. There's a massage included. There's a, so yeah, I'm actually.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I've regressed, but in a delightful way.
Well, it's nice to dip back in every once in a while, isn't it?
Yeah. Got to keep the tan up somehow.
Yeah. I was getting a bit of tan, actually. So where are we? It's Tuesday, isn't it? So last week, beginning of last week. So I got back from Cannes, the yachting festival, which was fantastic. Hot as hell. Oh my, it was so hot.
Yeah. Charlotte and I spoke about it last week. It was that kind of hot where everyone's just spent their entire time saying how hot they were.
Except, and all our friends from Italy were still rolling around in blazers. And yeah. I look at them and they don't look mildly bothered or fussed, whereas I'm just perspiring over everything at the show. And Italians cruise around cool as a cucumber. Very jealous. Anyway, so I got back from Cannes and then went straight to jump back on a plane because I went to Holland. Harry from the team here and I went to see Vrijpak. We've made this... I'm not quite sure how to describe it, really. We took a film crew with us and we made a kind of a mini movie. It's our feature film debut with Vrijpak, but it's going to be very, very cool. We had a brilliant crew with us, great director. Bart and Marnix were fantastic. We had a look at the Future 2 Meet Sportfish. They designed Inside Outside Naval Architecture at Royal Housman, biggest sportfisher in the world, and got to just you know, we obviously know Vrijpak very, very well, but it's always great when you're in the studio. You just learn a lot more secrets that way. And hearing about all the really exciting things they're doing, and they are genuinely exciting. Those guys are working on some projects that will that really will change the game. So that's exciting. So that's going to be out at some point in the near future, hopefully. So
I'm excited to see it. Marcus did send me a couple of WhatsApp photos of you guys while you're out there, working hard.
Well, I don't mean it's interesting filming because there is a lot of sitting around. And then it's kind of like 20 seconds of stuff. And then you sit around for another 2 hours. But it was sitting around with some very funny people and on some very cool boats.
New star of the show.
No. But I'm Onyx of the stars. I'm their foil. I talk between segments, basically. But it's going to be great. So, check it out. We'll flag it, definitely. And meanwhile,
doing some work.
Yeah. But this is a feature that I've been very excited about for a long time. Yeah. It's been percolating for some time.
It's been on my to-do list for so long. And I actually did a lot of the interviews kind of back in the spring, and then just it kept on getting delayed and delayed in the magazine. And, you know, it's like we're always short for time. So until it's actually got a date where we know it's running, you don't actually commit the time to writing it. So I did last week finally sit down and write this feature about Adnan Khashoggi's Nabila. Of course, she's been covered a lot because she went on to become Trump princess. And when Trump became president, obviously lots of people went back and looked at the yacht. And Boat International actually ran a feature in the Superyachts book. I'd have to go and look at what edition it was.
Trump wrote a foreword for one of the early Superyachts books.
Did he? I think it's all in the same one. She's been covered a lot for that, but we haven't gone back that much and kind of looked at the initial build. And I think what's been really fascinating, what I've taken from it, is the yacht kind of inadvertently shaped the superyacht industry. Or shape kind of the figures that are now complete household names. So she was kind of effectively the first superyacht, what we now consider to be a superyacht. Of course, John Battenberg did her exterior, and he obviously was already very well known at the time. But I had a long chat with Dickie about the project, and he still says that, you know, she was one of his father's standout designs. And he actually attended the launch as a teenager and remembers being at this party with white Mercedes and bands and, you know, everything else going on. And of course, then because the yacht went on starring James Bond, she kind of was a sort of star in her own right, this yacht. And then the other interesting part is that the build actually bankrupted Benetti. So my understanding is it was a very bad contract that was written. And essentially, Benetti did go bankrupt as a result of this, which is how the Vitelli family then became involved in the brand. And that's why we now have the Asmik Benetti that we know today that's still going strong 40 years later. And then the kind of third part of the puzzle is that Geoff Beckett, obviously from Burgess, he made the sale onto Trump at the time because Khashoggi got into troubles, and then Burgess was one of the appointed agents. And he was just 29 when he made that sale. So, I mean, it also was a complete kind of milestone in his career, but also for Burgess as a whole. So it's just really fascinating that this one yacht has kind of completely shaped all these different household names within the industry.
Yeah, and a very, very interesting owner. Adnan Khashoggi. So hopefully there's lots of stuff about him in there as well, because he's a fascinating character. But I remember, in the depths of COVID, we made a few videos. I did one with Terry Disdale, Tim Hayward, and Andrew Winch. And Nabila took up a good chunk of time on that because, I mean, they all acknowledged her as a seminal yacht. You're one of these kind of markers in the sand type projects that kind of changed everything. And Tim worked on that project as well. And, you know, when you got guys like that saying, you know, it's not just us saying it, you know, it's the biggest designers in the industry kind of saying, yeah, Nabila was a real benchmark.
Well, then Khashoggi is, I mean, as you say, is such an interesting character. So I did track down some of the ex-crew, for example, and they all loved him. And I mean, they're not... You know, he was an arms dealer, and I don't think we should skirt around that fact. But I haven't found anyone in all of this that has a bad word to say against him. And Geoff Beckett actually ended up on a kind of East Midlands flight with him years later after he'd sort of fallen down. And apparently, it was still terribly charming. They had a lovely chat about the golden days. I mean, he's a very interesting character that obviously, shaped yachting without necessarily meaning.
And the Burgess and the Geoff connection is interesting as well, because again, you know, a little after we made that kind of the Legends of Design video, we made one with Geoff, So we went out to his lovely home in Burnham and sat down. He just kind of talked through his history in the yachting industry. And Trump plays a massive role in what was a very small company, Burgess, at the time. It was obviously going into the behemoth it is today. But the Trump was their biggest client for a number of years and kind of helped the Burgess brand get going, really. And Joff kind of tells it all very candidly in this video.
Well, he said, I mean, when I was speaking to him about, you know, more specifically Nabila, he said he remembered, he sort of saw his name in the Financial Times, because obviously then you didn't have Google, you didn't have anything else. And sort of cut out and thought, oh, probably worth sending him a brochure.
We'll put links to both those videos. That's right, because they used to send, that's how they used to speculatively sending brochures. Because I think that's how we got Trump as a client, because he's just speculatively
The brochure of Nabila, just sent it because he was on the, you know.
And he gets a call.
He said he basically remembers, you know, kind of putting the stamp on and sort of taking it down to the postbox to this, you know, Donald Trump in New York. Who knows?
And he got a call from Trump Tower.
Yeah, had to be there. Had to fly Concorde because Trump said be here by 10:30 the next morning.
Wow. What stories. Sorry, we'll put links to the Legends of Design video and the Joff Beckett video in the description. Watch at your leisure, because what fascinating memories to mine for some of the greatest stories in super yachting. And they've been there since the beginning, those guys, really. They've seen it all. So fascinating characters. Well worth sitting down of an evening and listening to what they've got to say. Well, talking about very big boats, let's move on with the news.
So first up, we have the 146-metre, very secretive super yacht project Opera has been spotted moving to Lursen's outfitting facilities in Bremen. The yacht travelled to the facility inside Europe's largest floating docks, which is 290 metres long and was accompanied by 4 tugboats. The yacht, which was technically launched for the first time earlier this year, will now begin final outfitting ahead of delivery scheduled for 2023. The yacht is understood to be the rebuild of the 145-metre project Sassy, which was sadly destroyed in a 2018 ship fire. Details about the project still remain pretty sparse, but it's understood that the yacht has a beam of 20 metres and an interior volume exceeding 10,000 GT.
She's so that's a big, big, big girl, this one. And I should just clarify, we understand her to be the replacement for Sassy, which burnt, not the rebuild. Sassy, because that was a total loss, obviously.
So
Lursen have, so what is it, 2022, so they've built that in pretty good time, haven't they, from scratch in 2018.
Is the design the same, was it a original design?
Good question. Well, we never really saw Sassy, did we, so, or much of her. So from what I understand,
am I getting you in hot water? Sorry.
What am I not allowed to say? It's tricky in this business sometimes, isn't it? I think so. They're the same-ish. Why don't we say that? But massive, massive boat, huge. So whether we'll get to see her, I don't know. But again, I'll be trying to do my charming best to get on her, or at least get an agreement to have a look at her at the Monaco Yacht Show. What's up next? It is that German shipyard Nobiskrug has signed the contract for a new build 83-metre superyacht project named Orkan. The superyacht was sold by Burgess and will feature design by Harrison Eidsgaard with a heavy focus on merging interior and exterior areas. Very on trend. The yacht's sculpted exterior features a helicopter landing pad, generous exterior living areas, and a very large beach club. The custom project will feature hybrid propulsion and an electronic anchoring system that will help protect fragile ecosystems. Again, that's an increasingly common feature on yachts. If you don't have to drop the hook, don't. Philip Marak, CEO of Nobiskrug, said, "Our collaboration with Burgess and Harrison Eidsgaard is based on strong shipbuilding expertise on all sides. Nobiskrug prides itself on building yachts for the future, ships that will stand the test of time. We are delighted to be working on Project Orkan with these respected partners. The project marks the first collaboration between the German shipyard and the British design studio. The build schedule of the 83-metre superyacht is not yet known." But she looks pretty cool from what I've seen. And we all know Harrison Eidsgaard designs a brilliant boat. So 83 metres. Great, great, great contract for Nobiskrug.
Yeah, it seems like they're flying again at the moment. That news actually came in this morning. Super exciting time for the yard.
Yeah, I can't quite recall, but I think that's three new builds, at least three new builds. I think they've got at the on the order book now. I need to check with Raphael.
Check what you're actually allowed to say.
Look, it's always great news, isn't it? When you a yard that 18 months ago was the future of which was in doubt is now humming with projects. It's fantastic. What's next?
Lastly, we have the Turkish shipyard Turquoise Yachts has announced the successful launch of a new 53-metre superyacht named Jules. The launch took place at the yard's Pendik facilities on August 19th in the presence of owners, guests and the Turquoise team. Miami-based studio DeBasto Design helmed the yacht's distinctive sky blue exterior, marking a first-time project for the pair. Meanwhile, longtime Turquoise collaborator H2 Yacht Design is responsible for yacht's interior, which uses a blend of teak, gold inlays and decorative stonework to fulfill the owner's request for a classic look and feel. The yacht's built with a steel and aluminium superstructure and has an interior volume of 720 GT. With Jules' enormous volume, my objective was to make the exterior less bulky and give a feeling of a forward dynamic movement rather than a static feel, said Louise DeBasto. She's the 15th largest project to be launched by Turquoise, with the flagship is obviously still at the moment, 77 metre Go. And alongside Go, there are eight other Turquoise yachts that have designs from H2. We obviously interviewed Johnny Horsfield from H2 on the podcast a few weeks ago now, but that still exists. And he was really interesting talking about his work with the Turkish shipyards and Turquoise in particular and how they've kind of built that foundation together.
I'm surprised Johnny doesn't have... regular charter flight from his studio.
I think he basically does.
Down to Istanbul.
He's there a lot.
I bet, yeah. Well, I mean, why not? You know, they're building their order. The Turkish order book is very, very strong. And Johnny's responsible for a very good chunk of it, which is great. And that brings us on to the story I tried to spoil earlier in the podcast, which is all about the Monaco Yacht Show. But our data, as ever, is brought to you by our award-winning market intelligence platform, Boat Pro. We'll put a link to Boat Pro in the description. Check it out. We've just launched an app, a Boat Pro app, which you can download now. It's brilliant. It brings you many of the features of the desktop platform, and it's great. It's just a really good way of tracking boats, boats' histories, brokerage sales, all sorts of stuff like that. So have a look today. But without further ado, Sophia.
Yeah, so this is all obviously accurate at the time of recording or when our data guru sent it across this morning, because we know there tends to be a few last minute changes before the show. So at the time of recording, there are 110 yachts attending, which result. Do you want to guess the overall LOA without looking at the script?
Is it 5,339?
It's not even fun, is it? It's not, can't even pretend. But that blew my mind. That's 5K. 5K takes a while to run.
Not if you're in a peak physical shape like me.
So. I don't think you're going sub 20, Stuart.
No, definitely not.
Anyway, so yeah, obviously a lot of yacht there. The average LOA is 48.5 metres. The average GT is 713 gross tons. And there are 99 motor yachts and it's only 11 sailing yachts. 60 of the yachts are semi-custom and 34 of the yachts were delivered in 2022. So that means about 30% of the fleet that's going to be there was delivered this year. On top of this, that's just yachts that are in Port Hercules. So on top of this, there's expected to be another 100 or so off at anchor. So it's looking to be a pretty busy show. The flagship, as you obviously mentioned earlier, is the 115-metre Lursan Apo, which is, of course, a Nuvali Leonard design. And do you know what the oldest yacht of the show is? Again, without looking at the script.
Ooh. No.
So it's 39-metre Trafalgar, which was built in 1975. And I didn't realise this until I was looking today. I actually had a James Bond cameo in The Living Daylights in 1987. So there you go. Bit of Bond trivia for you.
Arguably the worst James Bond movie.
Is it? I haven't ever watched it.
It's a Timothy Dalton one, isn't it?
I think so. Yes. Holly looked at it this morning and said, I don't even know who this man is. Which...
I think he only did one.
Famously, maybe.
Yeah, and he was Bond once, I think. Right in, if I got that wrong. I think it's right there.
Anyway, a few other highlights, which Stu, you also quite rightly picked out, but Raphael also picked out, which is that, obviously 97-metre Corinthians 7 will be on display for the first time. Recently refitted 89-metre Here Comes the Sun is at the show.
World Superyacht Award winner this year.
Yeah, 88 Meter Project X is obviously going to make the show, and we're obviously hosting one of our events on her, which is very exciting.
So Project X is the other boat that was started in Chile, so the kind of sister ship to Victorious. Yeah, so Victorious went from Chile to New Zealand to Turkey. I think Project X went from Chile to up to Washington State and then to Greece. But both
halves. Wow, so they kind of went, yeah, that's amazing.
Now been finished, which is great. And quite striking superstructure design elements. I think Mr. Freevox responsible for those. So she's going to be birthed right on the end of the seawall at the show.
And then elsewhere, recently delivered 78 meter Amels Energy, which was designed by Esmond Wainos at the show. CRN's back with two of their recently delivered yachts, so Rio and Chow. Heesen have Lucene there, and I understand they also have quite an exciting announcement to make at their press conference as well. I won't say anything more because I don't know how much more I'm allowed to say. The first hull, which we've spoken about before, the Amel 60, come together's there. So I'm actually going to be writing the yacht report for that while I'm at the show.
That is the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's going to do so well for that company.
Yeah. I can't quite remember the numbers that are already behind it. Yeah. But yeah.
Wild.
The first hull in the new Mangusta 165 Rev series is there.
Great looking boat. Beautiful boat.
Overmarine also have the first hull of the Oceano 44 series. Cantiere del Marche have the custom project de Carla. There's also the first hull in the Reeve 130 Bellissima series. Baglietto will be there with their custom project Enterprise. And Azimut will display the Grande 36 meters, which was already seen in Cannes. And also the new Magellano 30-meter series.
Magellano 30.
Every time.
Every time. That's another Ken Freevock design, actually. So Ken well represented it at the show. It's a really good-looking boat, that Magellano. So looking forward to seeing her. I love the new Mangusta series by Igor Lobanov. I think he's done an amazing job. Akala, that's going to be interesting to see from Cantiere della Marche. It's slightly cooler, smoother. Looking Explorer from that Italian shipyard. It'd be great to have a look at her. And Baglietto as well, on fire, Enterprise. So I didn't look on her, but I saw her when I was at the shipyard not too long ago. She looked very, very cool as well. Big glass, lots of volume, good-looking boat. So, I mean, there's no shortages there. It's always exciting, but it seems like there's some really cool stuff. And when you get real icons like Tatoosh and Corinthia 7 at the show, it just adds that X factor, doesn't it? Yeah, can't wait. I take back all my complaints about pre-exhaustion earlier. I'm suddenly very excited again.
Good. Well, there we go. Just while we added that data story in.
Quite. And I think that brings us to a close. Thanks for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nilsson and is a production of Boat International Media. Savia's off to have a very sedate birthday.
Middle-aged birthday
with her young family. Actually, if you're middle-aged, well, that makes me a senior citizen, basically. Let's not dwell on this. That's it. Let's close it right there. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.